one of our biggest joys, people, should be part of God's plan to bring freedom to people, to bring health to people, to bring peace to people, to bring encouragement to people, to pray for their finances, to bring hope and future to many who have no hope. That is what missions is all about. You know, to bring it to those people who live in darkness, not by choice. I don't believe that countries and nations and people live in darkness by choice, but it comes upon them. You know, the world's a mess. It gets messier every day. The wars, the famine, the calamities, everything you can imagine. And now COVID added in the mix. But I believe this, that we can make a difference in the world by not even buying a plane ticket. You can't anyway. I believe God's mission statement is that none should perish. If he had a mission statement, that would be his heart. God, that none shall perish. I love the concept from the upper room to the marketplace. Upper room to the marketplace. What is the upper room? The upper room is when we go and we actually spend time with God. We just listen to God. We let God love upon us. That is in the upper room. Just you and him. You're his child. And I believe God's bringing a greater concept of his love into people's lives. That people will know that God loves them. And if you hear nothing else this morning, I want you to go away believing and knowing that God loves you. Not who you are or what you are or what you've done or what's happened in your life, but the love of God will be your portion in your life. Talking of young people, I'm going right away from this, but you know, I was 14 years of age, brought up in a horrendous home. You wouldn't believe that went on in our home with six kids. It was disgusting and terrible. But at 14 years of age, a woman put a hand out to me. A little young mother put a hand out to me, and through her, I found Jesus. Then I went on a journey that took much time. The journey was to know the love of God. And young people, I believe that God wants to take you on that journey. But he wants you to know that he loves you. We've got to understand the love of God. And I believe that's in the upper room when we go up and just spend time. Sometimes I don't know what to say to God. Sometimes I'm too mad at him. You know, let's be honest. Sometimes I don't know where he is. Sometimes I'm not sure. But I know for one thing, that he loves me. See, the trouble is, if we have a father or a parent that is not good to us, every time someone says Father God, we straight away think of our own father. But you know what? He is Father God. And you know that love we can share amongst here. You know, God, Australia needs the love of God like never before. It needs to know that they're loved. And we're out of that love, we can love other people. We can love other people. You know, when I think of India, you know, we went there in 1984, a long time ago, with my husband and two small children, because my husband was born there in the Raj, and his father was a colonel in the British Army. But when I went to that Indian, we spent about 7 weeks there. I'm going to tell you one thing. I hated it. Absolutely hated India. You have no idea. We didn't know anyone. We travelled all by ourselves. I just hate it, but we met the most amazing people. But I thought, so when I went to the airport to go home, I was there and I thought, a couple were there and I said, aren't you glad you're going home? And they said, this is our seventh trip. I said, well, I tell you what, it's my first and last. But God placed India in my heart. It's a not longer story. But we met five air hostesses on that plane going from India to Singapore, and they spoke to us. And we met them in Perth. We became good friends with them. And they talked me into going back to India the next year. Can you believe that? But that's where God touched our hearts for India. And now I've been 30 times. My husband says, no wife's allowed to go away 30 times. I said, you wait, it's going to be 31 soon. But you know, this is missions. God places things on our heart. Where does he do that? When we spend time with him. We are to do what he wants us to do, people. not what others expect of us, but we are to listen to him. Because I have no doubt, I cannot believe the thousands of people we touch. I can't get over the money that we push out to those countries. I just can't get over it. But when you have the love of God in your heart and you want to pour that love to other people, missions becomes your heart. Missions becomes your heart. Love the concept. Seeking his face. You know, people, making a difference in the world. But you know, listening to what he's really saying, I encourage the young ones here today. He wants to talk to you. He wants to love on you. He wants to tell you some things he has for your life. And you know, people, when we listen to him and we obey him, you know, he resources that. When God told me to go and feed the widows, I'd just given up a job as a pastor. David wasn't working. I had two jobs, one in January and one in December, and he told me to go and feed the widows. I said, are you joking? But you know, when we listen to him, he resources. My prayer this morning is that he'll fill us with a fresh touch of his Holy Spirit, that we can be equipped to bring a living Jesus to a dying world. You know what? My prayer is always, Lord, break my heart with what breaks yours. And you know, the mission field's right here in Willard. People out there, young people, older people, are wanting to know the love of God like never before. And we need to be reaching out to them. People, let us be so connected to you, Lord, that we declare your glory among the nations. Let us come out of your presence. Let us come out of the upper room and take that presence, that power, into the marketplace. Amen? Young people, he's talking to you. Listen to him. I listened to him at 14 years of age, broken, smashed, destroyed, everything. But I listened to him when he said, I love you and I have a purpose for your life. Oh, Jesus. That will declare your glory among the nations. Let's come out of your presence, the upper room, and take that presence, that power, as I said, into the marketplace. That our lives will declare the glory of the Lord to all people. Our lives will declare that. That we'll see miracles and healings and deliverances and salvations, and we'll see people being given hope, the poor being fed, the lost found, and living and lives becoming fruitful. Is that your heart? Because that's my heart. And he can show us as we spend time with him where he wants us, what harvest he wants us to bring in. See, God called us to go into the world. How? By giving, by going, by praying, by sending, by spreading the message of his love and salvation and practical help wherever. The best way to do this is by listening to God, spending time with him in the upper room. Let him love on you and be led by the Holy Spirit to reach those in need, those in the marketplace. You know, we can share God's message by showing people compassion, concern, and meeting their basic needs where we can. Sometimes I just go to meetings, I just hug people. I just hug people. Because sometimes we just need a hug. That is the true message of Christ. Jesus not only cares about the needs of the poor, he cares about the needs of the vulnerable, he cares about the needs of the sick, he cares about the needs of the oppressed, he cares about the needs of the starving. He identifies with their needs, you know that? He identifies with our needs. He knows what our needs are. He knows what we're going through. He's been through those himself. And I tell you right now, he wants to bring hope and healing and miracles, and he wants to meet the needs in your life. I just want to look at Psalm 96, verse 1-4. It's just become new to me, this part of this psalm. Oh, sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord, all the earth. Sing to the Lord, bless his name. Proclaim the good news of his salvation from day to day. Declare his glory among the nations, his wonders among all peoples. For the Lord is great and greatly to be praised. Amen. I tell you what, this psalm is telling us to sing a new song. And I believe it's time to sing a new song. Amen. You know, throughout Scripture, when a new song is sung, it is a song inspired by a fresh experience of God's love and grace, God's power, God's deliverance, God's salvation, God's wisdom. The psalmist is saying to the earth, to the Lord, all the earth, time to sing a new song. I believe it's time to sing a new song, people. I believe it with all my heart. Time to sing a new song of his glory and grace and power. I tell you what, he's putting a new song in our hearts. In other words, a new insight into his word. I believe he's giving us greater insight into his word. I believe he's giving us greater insight into the times we are in. We need to be asking him, not just watching 9 News and 7 News and every other news, but tell you, signing into God and saying, God, what are you doing in these times? What do you want me to do? What part can I be in this time that we're going through? Time we should be in a spirit of intercession. We should be on our knees. You know, we should be showing overall generosity. Can you take the top off, please? Overflowing generosity to others. Our motivation, people, is to see God glorified. Not to say, look at me, look what I'm doing, look what my church does. But we want to glorify God in everything that we do. Amen? Praise God. Praise God. Glorify God. God. Praise God. A new song of victory. A new song that is written on our hearts. A new song that is written in the upper room. Amen. A song that will see the oppressed go free. That will dismantle injustice and anything that opposes God. We need to come against everything that opposes God. And there's so much opposing God right now, but we have the power. We have the power. We have his word. We have him. We have his love. We have his direction. And we can oppose what the enemy's trying to bring into the world today. Praise God. Praise God. Taking the upper room experience. How do we do that? By setting aside time to worship the Lord and moving out in the fresh anointing into the marketplace, bringing hope and future by giving, going, and praying. God has anointed us and appointed us, people, to take his power and his presence into the marketplace and declare him to the world. Amen? We need to allow the love of Christ in us to be seen in our lives in so many ways. You know, I counted 90 verses, and I'm sure there's a lot more in the Bible that talk about feeding the needy, feeding the poor, giving, going, and praying. God anointed us to take his power and presence into the marketplace. Proverbs 14:31 says this, "He who oppresses the poor reproaches his maker, but he who honors him has mercy on the need." I believe we need a new song of true mercy. Of true mercy. James 2:15-16 said, "If a brother or sister is naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you says to them, 'Depart in peace, be warm and filled,' but you do not give them the things which are needed for their body, what does it profit?" A new song of being an answer to needs that come our way. Deuteronomy 24:19 says, "When you reap your harvest in your field and forfeit a sheaf in the field, you shall not go back and get it. It shall be for the stranger, the fatherless, and the widow. The Lord your God may bless you in all the work of your hands." I believe we need a new song of generosity, really knowing what generosity really means. That's giving everything, everything that we can, that God wants us to, everything. Generosity. Deuteronomy 15:11 says this, "For the poor will never cease from the land. Therefore I command you, saying, you shall open your hand wide to your brother, to your poor and your needy in your land." I believe we need a new song of obedience. It was said earlier in the service, we need to be obedient to what God is saying to us to do, to give, to go. 1 John 3:17. But whoever has this world's goods and sees his brother in need and shuts up his heart from him, how does the love of God abide in him? I believe we need to sing a new song of self-sacrifice and compassion. I watch my husband at times, you know, he's so sick at the moment, that's why he's not here. But, you know, I just watch the compassion he has. And he thinks I don't notice him. But we can be in a shopping centre. We can be anywhere. And I see that money going out of his pocket to someone behind him or someone in front of him, someone beside him, you know. And I said, what are you doing? He says, nothing. Nothing. But he's just always giving. And I said, how come you can give so much? What about me? No. But, you know, a heart of compassion. Where we are, where the, doesn't matter what they look like or what they. I say, but you know, how do you know they need that? David said, God told me, and he just gives and gives. You know, Proverbs 29:7 says, "The righteous considers the cause of the poor, but the wicked does not understand such knowledge." I don't want to be classed as wicked. I want to understand what he's asking me to do. We need to sing a new song of righteousness by being concerned for the poor. We started Lynette Tobin Ministries, and I was going to go more into that, but honestly, you saw most of it on the DVD. But you know, we've been spending the years and years bringing hope and the love of God. But as you know, COVID has changed that. So we have to change the way we've been doing things. And I thought, God, how are we going to meet all these needs? We're just a very small group of us, you know, and other churches are coming in. But you know, since COVID come, the generosity has been amazing. Without me saying anything or doing anything, generosity has been coming in. And you know, because the cry in India, and you're doing other countries, but God's put our heart into India. And you know, millions of people are saying their loved ones are no more, their friends are no more, pastors are dropping everywhere. I can just tell you about some of those pastors in India and across the world. You know, they can hardly feed their own families, but they are trying to feed all these people. They are trying to, you know, look after all these people everywhere. I mean, it's a huge job. I have two pastors over there that a lot more that I work with. One, his name's Gabriel. He works from Mumbai, and he works right up north of India, right through. He has hundreds and hundreds of pastors under him, all crying out to him, you know. And God has been reaching and using him. He gets up every morning and goes out of his flat. You know what? He married my friend, actually, Australian girl. And you know what? They live in a flat five floors up. No balcony, no absolutely nothing. And she has two little children, little Indian boys, full of zest. And they live in this one-bedroom flat. And she has been out of that flat once in nearly 2 years. Can you imagine it? He goes out every morning, comes home, boils his clothes and everything, serving these people, sending the money out, sending finance. You know, we give. But they are the heroes. And all the pastors under him, they are the heroes that are reaching so many people. And they just don't reach Christians, they reach everybody they can. We've been reaching thousands, and people are getting baptized and everywhere, but we are feeding them. And as I think I said last year in the beginning when this happened, Modi, the Prime Minister, shut down India in 3 hours. Do you know how many people are in India? Ask David. But anyway, there's many. And, you know, they shut India down. 3 hours. Well, most of the people in Mumbai area are construction workers. They live on the job. They have their little tent on the job. They have their family on the job. They're fed on the job. In 3 hours, millions were pushed out of their jobs. They had nothing. They had nowhere to go to. Nothing. Many of them walked 500 kilometres, 600 kilometres, 1,000 kilometres to try to go back to the village they came from. But when they got there, the villagers didn't want them. You know why? Because they were bringing COVID with them. That is just some of the stuff that has been happening over there. It's been a nightmare for many. There's been no help from the government whatsoever. Actually, because, you know, because it's The Prime Minister wants it to be a Hindu country. They look at these poor like this. Well, you must have done something in the past. You must have done something before. That's why you're so poor. So that's why you're paying the costs. We have to understand what's behind a lot of this stuff. And right now, the Christians over there are being persecuted. You won't read it on the news. But they are being persecuted everywhere because it's been spread that the Christians and the Muslims have brought this COVID to the country. That's what people are believing. And they are killing pastors and Christians all over the place. Those hospitals turn people away. You die anyway when you go into the hospital. But this pastor, he works day and night. Day and night. And then you know how God works amazing things because, Gabriel actually comes down from the south of India. But I had the south of India in my heart. And you never know how God's going to talk to you. But at the end of last year, Margaret Cord has a Bible school. She has about 90 students there. And she rang me up about 2 days before their final meeting, final graduation. And she didn't ring me, but her secretary rang me. And they said, the guy that was going to run the service, he can't come. Is there any chance that you can come to and do this service for us? I said, what does it mean? She said, well, 1 hour preaching... and prophesying over 90 students. Oh, little job. And I thought, I got 2 days' notice. But I went because I believed I was meant to go. In that place, there was an Indian young man, about 27, I think he is. And I knew that he was going back to India. I knew that he'd finished 2 years Bible school. I already knew that because people told me that. He was going back to India to work with his father who's a pastor and his grandfather who's a pastor. He was going to work over there. So anyway, when I called him out and I prophesied over him and all that, lovely young man. About a week later, I got a call from the church saying he would like to see me. Could he possibly see me? And I said, fine, come when David's here. So he came and he brought someone else with him. And he came. He said, I want to show you something. He'd written down his mission field of what God placed on his heart when he goes back to India. Because he knew things had to be different. He knew he had to sing a new song. He knew he had to make changes to be able to reach the people of India. It wasn't working as much as it should have been. So he brought out these sheets of paper. And on that, and I'm not pushing myself up here, but hear my how God works. I prophesied everything he wrote on that page. Everything he wrote on that page. But I didn't write down that I was going to have to be the person to resource him. But this young man, 27, I can't tell you what he's done over there. It's been incredible. He's going out in the streets. He lays down the floor with the people that can't feed him. He just does incredible, incredible things. You have no idea what Samuel does. He's reaching people everywhere. He's feeding them everywhere. He's bringing in truckloads of rice everywhere. He's thinking beyond. He's singing a new song. He's doing things differently. He's getting everybody involved. It's absolutely incredible. So you really don't know what God is saying to you. When I went to that, I just thought I was helping someone out at a course. But actually, God wanted me to meet this young man who's now become a hero. Amen. See, poverty brings hopelessness, sickness, premature death, crime, wars, and COVID has caused havoc, especially amongst the poor. See, we can be part people. Just us little people here, we can be part of pushing back the evil that is trying to consume the world. We have to push back the darkness that the enemy's bringing. He's bringing it darker and darker and darker. But God is putting a new song in our heart. New song to do it his way. A new song to hear him. A new song to listen to him. You don't know these ladies and widows and pastors and children that I'm talking about. But you are part of their freedom. Your giving, your going, your praying has shifted them from hopelessness to hope. Whatever country, whatever city, whatever town you support, your giving breaks the cycle of darkness and poverty, leading them to the God of more. Isn't that what we want, people? We want to lead people to the God of more because he is a God of more. I will leave you these promises for your life. Wow, isn't that amazing? We're to give to the poor. But actually, God gives promises to us, the ones that give. And I'll leave these promises for your life from the God of more, who promises that as you minister in the marketplace to ones in need, you will in turn be blessed. Do you know that? We will in turn be blessed. Proverbs 22:9 says, "He who has a generous eye will be blessed, for he gives of his bread to the Lord." You know what? We should be ready for God's blessing. God's blessing, because when we give, he blesses. I love this mostly, this verse. I'm going to finish with this. Proverbs 19:17. "He who has pity on the poor," hear this, "lends to the Lord." Can you believe that? "Lends to the Lord, and he will pay back what is given." So as we give to the poor out of our hearts, what he's telling us to do, he actually gives it back to us with interest. Is that incredible? That is incredible, people. He will give back to us. Oh, I think we're so privileged. We're so privileged to be part of doing what C3 is doing. We're so privileged to have hands and feet out there that can take even the little we give to bring life and hope and future and healing, and even turn a nation around. Because as the people receive this, they know it's from God Father. They know, and so many are turning to God because of your generation, and your generosity. Oh, Father, help us when we're in the upper room to hear your voice, to hear what you're saying. Even right now, let us hear what he's saying, not what we think we can give, but what is God saying right now. I pray in Jesus' name. And people, sing a new song. Find the new song. There is a new song, I pray, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Pastor.
Hello? Yes. So now we're going to get to